Hello and welcome to the Live Fit Now podcast. My name is Vicky Brown and I am your host. Today, my guest is the founder of Mindful Medicine. With a BA Honours, ACU Energetics Practitioner 2014, practitioner member of the AAAP and a mindfulness meditation teacher accredited by the British School of Meditation 2018. She is a professional member of the Association for the Advancement of ACU Energetics Practitioners and the British School of Meditation. Working with individuals and groups, her work drives her to find solutions for people's unique set of circumstances and challenges. I can't wait to speak to her today so that she can tell you a little bit more about what it is she does and how she helps people on a daily basis, runs her business, and is a mummy to two lovely girls. Thank you for agreeing to come on the podcast. Welcome to Gillian Ward.
Thank you, Vicky. Thanks for listening to me.
You're absolutely welcome. I can't wait to have this chat. So I think a great place to start is if you could tell us a little bit about mindful medicine and what meditation and ACU energetics is.
Yeah, for me, meditation is really the daily practice of using an anchor such as the breath, as a good example, to quieten the mind. Now, it doesn't only do that, it actually in turn has a relaxing effect on the body and also has the ability to stabilize and balance out emotions. So you can imagine that has a great effect on our health and well-being and helps us to stay more often in the present moment rather than agonizing over the past or anticipating the future. You know, when we over worry and overthink all the time of what may or may not happen. So that's meditation. With ACU Energetics, we treat the physical and the emotional body as a whole, and we treat various different illnesses, ailments, pain, stress in the body. And we work with the body, as I said, as one. So that's how that works. It's how the emotions affect the body physically. For example, if you're on a stage and you get stage fright, it's just not the fear that you feel emotionally. You have a physiological response in the body, and it manifests as maybe butterflies, feeling sick, sweaty palms, shortness of breath, etc., etc. So that's how an emotion can affect the body physically, if that helps explain.
It does, absolutely. And I think that it really does summarize, I think, the importance of well-being and how nothing is really separate. It's all connected, isn't it? The body and the mind, there's such a deep connection there. It's actually about realizing where potentially the issue is coming from. And it sounds like, and I think perhaps meditation is something that I think most people be familiar with nowadays just because of how much more common it's become. But I think ACU Energetics is perhaps something that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily have heard from. And where does the concept come from?
The modality is an Australian modality that's actually rolled out across the world now. We've got teaching schools in the US, India, Bali, Europe, in Holland, and also the UK. So it's stretching out, but it is an Australian modality originally. And it's based on probably information that's 5,000 years old. It's just been rediscovered and applied to the present day. So that's how that works. Obviously, there's a lot more information on my website, and it goes into more detail. There's also a global website that has loads and loads of different case studies and interesting facts and figures of how it works.
Do you find that you will often bring the two together, or do you generally keep the two practices?
Well, originally I qualified as an ACU Energetics practitioner. And as a practitioner, you need to be able to meditate in order to practice. And increasingly, my clients were asking me to help them meditate in the one-to-one sessions and asked me to teach in a group setting. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I started teaching in groups, and also I teach one-to-one for meditation. And we find in the clinic, actually, just anecdotally, that anybody really who learns to meditate or practice mindfulness has a much quicker and speedier recovery for whatever they're trying to get over. So it's a really good tool which I like to give people because it means that they can go home and they can actually be actively doing something themselves.
Absolutely.
In order to contribute to their recovery.
It's very empowering, isn't it? Exactly what I want this podcast to be. It's an empowering individuals to be able to take control of helping themselves, because actually there's so much we can do for ourselves, isn't there?
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, health and well-being feels like it's completely out of our control. And I think with my business, like your business, Mindful Medicine, I wanted to show people that there was light at the end of the tunnel. There were glimmers of opportunity they could pick on themselves to really help with a full recovery, to support, whether it's Western medicine or Eastern medicine, the journey they're going on, they can tap into mindfulness and meditation and really support themselves.
Absolutely. It sounds fantastic. Very powerful. In fact, you brought breath into your description. If you could perhaps give one breath technique that we could all try, because I know there are so many. In fact, I've been reading more and more about them recently, just how many different types of breath techniques there are. If you could perhaps just suggest one that we could all have a try.
Yeah, I think a really good all-rounder actually is one where it takes practice, but you take a really slow, long breath in, and hopefully through the nose if you can. I'm not actually very worried about whether you breathe through the nose or mouth on any particular day. If you breathe in for, say, 3 seconds to start with, build it up to 4, and then breathe an even slower, longer breath out for 6 to 8 seconds. And you can lengthen that breath in and out with practice. It's a bit like fitness or yoga. You don't push yourself too hard too quickly. You build it up over time. And when you eventually get to an extremely slow breath in and a really, really slow breath out, I've actually found it stops hiccups in their tracks as well, which I've mentioned to some of my clients before. So that was just a silly, dramatic discovery I noticed when I tried it once.
Fantastic. Sounds like a good cure.
Yeah. Cure
all. So a nice deep breath in for 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And so breathe out as slowly as possible for 6 to 8 seconds.
Yeah. And just repeating. I mean, you only have to do this for a couple of minutes to get some benefit and just reset the system. You know, if you're under pressure or you can't make a decision or you're running around like a headless chicken or you just need some time out, it's a great thing to do, to just step out of that situation and spend, you know, literally 60 seconds or 2 minutes practicing that breathing. Of course, you can go up to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, use a timer, whatever you like to do. But the more you do that, the more you will, you know, release tension and relax the body as well.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you for that. It sounds like it's like hitting a reset switch. Just taking a moment, as you were mentioned before, just to bring yourself into the present, because you have to focus on that breathing. And I think, considering the time we're living through right now, it couldn't be a more perfect tip that we can all take home and practice.
That's right. And the important thing really with meditation and mindfulness is we don't always realize, but we spend so much time in our heads, you know, over worrying, overthinking. We might have loads of study to do. We might be overworked. We quite often, our breath sort of stops here because we're so busy up here. And all we're doing with meditation is bringing that right down into the body, the breath in this case, and being much more aware of how we spend our time, how often we spend our time up here, and what we spend time thinking about, because quite a lot of what we think causes our stress. And there's lots of research out there to show you the actual statistics, which are quite alarming, you know, at how we're causing stress in our body. So it's very simple. All we're doing is bringing our consciousness back in to ourselves and connecting mind and body as one, as they should be, and working out how to move forward, and at the same time how to stay in the present to be able to move forward in a much stronger, able way.
Sounds fantastic and very, very powerful. It's and absolutely, stress is probably the biggest contributing factor to so many problems that we have, both physically and mentally. So to have any tools at our disposal that can help that, I think, is absolutely perfect. So thank you. I think this is quite a nice moment to ask, did you have a pivotal moment that led you to taking this path and gaining your qualifications and being sat here with me?
Well, it was a very, very slow, long journey, actually. I used to be in the corporate world. I worked with people and I loved working with people. I loved working with communications and change. But over a few years, I really wanted to move more directly into working with people one-to-one and specifically with their health and well-being. So it took me quite a while to work out what it was. But I discovered when I moved to Australia quite a few years ago now, I was sort of on that. The lookout for something, and I came across AccuEnergetics, which was a very logical modality, a little bit out there in some respects to be able to explain how it works, but really, you know, the case studies were outstanding, the results that they got, and really there is a gap where, you know, Western medicine can do so much, and quite a lot of Western medical practitioners agree, you know, that there's 25% of conditions or people or symptoms that they just don't know what to do with anymore. You know, there isn't a cure. And, you know, why not work with a person to be able to overcome that hidden stuff? You know, how those emotions are really deep down affecting the body physically with a view to have a much fuller recovery.
I think that really does make sense. It's one of those things of being open-minded to try something different. And when you have experience of seeing case studies, and obviously I guess you've experienced it now with your own clients, that it can help so many different kinds of issues. Do you normally have people come to you that completely understand what it is that you do? Do you get the skeptics coming and trying it, but they're not necessarily 100% convinced that it's something that can help, or are most people already kind of almost there?
There's everyone really, you know, some people don't really care what you're doing. They've tried absolutely everything and they might be in so much pain that even tablets and medication isn't helping, that they just need, you know, a last resort option to get out of pain. And I've managed that, you know, on various occasions. One in particular, I remember a really deep, deep injury and cut to an arm. And, you know, this was sort of 18 months down the line, and there was still excruciating pain in that area, and obviously a knock-on effect where the injury had been up into the shoulder. And we managed to get, you know, that pain lifted, the tension released, and it's just so interesting. And until you do it or experience it, you don't really know what's happening. There's the, you know, the odd person might not understand what's happening and either doesn't care, or another person might be quite reluctant to get involved in a session, and they're a little bit trickier, because in some ways you need to open up and let things happen in order to restore flow and function in the body, if that makes any sense. Because what we're doing, all we're doing is encouraging our client's body to increase the flow and function in terms of oxygen and blood and energy to be able to recover and release tension where tension is holding, if that makes any sense. So if there's a closing cycle, people are going to hold back and hold in tension. And, you know, even the breathing has an effect on that, as you can understand. So it's a little bit more tricky. But, you know, it doesn't matter if an injury is, you know, 30 years old or acute, a couple of hours old. It's really quite dramatic what you can achieve. And it's not a miracle cure by any stretch of the imagination. You know, there's some really tricky cases around where you have to put your head together with some other practitioners globally and work out, you know, how could this work and what's the quickest and best way to a full recovery. Because no individual is the same. We have holding patterns and different thought patterns and different susceptibilities, and we all react to situations in different ways. In some ways it doesn't matter what happens to us in life, is how we are with what we're having to deal with that causes our bodies to be the way they are. Absolutely. So that obviously affects the health and wellness of the body.
Absolutely. Do you find that generally you have people coming to you with injuries, or have you actually covered a whole wide range of areas?
I don't know if it's just, I don't know why it happens, but I get lots of batches of the same thing. So I might get lots of hips at one time, or lots of knees, or lots of shoulders, and all different reasons why those have occurred. It might just be sport injury related. It might be car accidents. It might be a huge emotional holding pattern that's causing problems in the body. But that's what I tend to get. It might be skin conditions, stress, you know, anxiety, that kind of thing. It comes in batches for some reason. But on my website, I've got lots of testimonials of various different things. But even meditation, you know, if people aren't up for acuenergetics, even in a, you know, the first class, we talk about pain and how to actually breathe into pain and release tension that way. And if people are happy to try and help themselves that way, I'm happy to, you know.
Absolutely. It does sound like it marries together nicely.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Another rolling on question. Are there any common myths with either of those areas that are linked to your field that you would like to debunk? Ideas that people have that actually they haven't quite got the right end of the stick.
Yeah, I think we've already covered one, which is sometimes your health and well-being feels out of your control and you have absolutely no power to help yourself. I think that's the first one. I think you've always got something you can do. Finding the right thing is sometimes very tricky. The second thing I have all the time is a lot of people come to me and say, there is absolutely no way on earth I'm going to be able to sit still and meditate or do anything you tell me to. I just cannot stop wandering off from my head. Now, I always break the news, actually, that this is the human condition. We are all, you know, wandering off on our heads. This is what we do as humans. In some ways, it's quite nice sometimes to wander off in your head. So having said that, there are hundreds of types and techniques of meditation and mindfulness, and there will always be one to suit you, at least one. And it's worth trying lots of different types and techniques to be able to get to what you want to. It might be more of a moving meditation you prefer. You might be liking to go into nature and actually just taking in your surroundings, you know, whether it's using your five senses to pay attention for once while you've got 5 minutes to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and, you know, the feel, the touch sense as well. That doesn't take long, and you can be walking as you go. You can actually walk with more consciousness, where you just feel your feet on the ground and feel every step they take. That's another way to do it. And this only has to take a couple of minutes to become more conscious. But people find, even the ones that don't want to sit still, they find everybody's in the same boat. Even as a teacher and practitioner, I'm on the same boat. We all have things to deal with. But what it is with meditation is, what we're learning to do is, once we wander off, which we all do, we're just learning every time that once we realize we've wandered off, we just pay attention and come back to our anchor, which, you know, quite often might be the breathing, or it might be if we're doing a body scan meditation, different parts of the body. It might be a visualization. So just as soon as we realize we've wandered off and we're distracted, we come back to our anchor and then repeat the process again. That's all you do. And the more you do that, the more you practice, the more natural it is, and the more you realize how much we spend in our heads over worrying, overthinking, and all the stuff I mentioned before.
Absolutely. That sounds fantastic. It makes it seem so much more achievable. And it's, you know, there's so many simple ways, it sounds like, that you can try meditating. It's more just about trying than thinking you can't do it and not giving it a go.
Yeah, it is just a matter of doing it. It's like anything, you know, whatever we're doing, we just have to put it into practice. And I always say with people, you know, if you don't want to sit there and do a formal meditation practice on a daily basis, you might not want to start with that. You might want to start at the other, complete other end of the spectrum, where you literally switch the kettle on and take a few breaths until you wait for the kettle to boil. And eventually that you will meet up in the middle. You know, whether you prefer sitting and meditating, or whether you just prefer taking a few mindful moments over the day, you know, paying attention to, say, when you do your shoelace up, just really paying attention there and then to what you're doing. Or if you're washing up, just spending time actually doing that. If you're walking, spending time walking and watching what you're doing, you're probably less likely to trip over for a start, because you're very much mindful of what you're doing. So these mindful moments are a really good way to start if you don't want to sit in a formal sort of meditation practice. But again, this is even a formal meditation practice, even if you set a timer and you do 2 minutes a day, that's absolutely fine. You don't have to sit there for hours, and you don't have to sit in a formal meditation posture either.
Perfect. It sounds, we're in such a fast-paced life. We're always trying to multitask and do several things at once, but it seems like all we really need to try and do to be mindful is to pay attention to the one thing you're doing at that moment.
That's right.
And there therefore you'll be practicing it.
Yeah, that is definitely right.
Is there a minimum, I kind of feel like you're going to say no, is there a minimum amount of time or how often you should do it? Or is it just about finding the pattern that works for your life?
There's lots of theories on this. Some people say twice a day for 20 minutes. I tend to disagree. I think people just need to become a lot more mindful generally throughout their day. And however your personality and your day pans out, you need to be able to fit it in, whether you're commuting, whether you like running or swimming or walking. You know, it depends if you're doing fitness, looking after children, looking after elderly relatives, depends on your work. You just need to pick and choose a few moments to fit in. And this is why we like to use triggers. So, you know, if you ever watch television in the evening, you might want to just take a couple of minutes before you switch the TV on to just practice some breathing, or just feeling how you feel before you launch into something else. It might be first thing in the morning when you wake up, that you want to just, you know, check in and work out how you're going. You might want to, as you're doing before or after exercise, you might want to just check in with your posture and use that as your anchor, and just check, you know, are your shoulders away from your ears? Is your jaw relaxed? Are you breathing into your heart, lungs, and actually as far as your belly? Maybe just watching the rise and fall of the chest or the belly for a few moments to see how your breathing is, because that will help your posture and your whole spine will relax. So it just depends how to fit in. And it's using these triggers to really help you. So it might be switching the kettle on, or every time you switch the light on. It might be every time you put your shoes on, or just before, you know, when you get in the car, just before you start the engine. It's these triggers that can help you and remind you to do something.
Absolutely. It's funny, I talk about the exact same thing. It's that formula of habit building. And if you piggyback the thing that you want to start onto something you already do, it makes it so much easier, because it's making the process, as you say, you've got that trigger.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have that conversation so often, and it makes perfect sense. So it applies.
Definitely.
It applies to that as well. So that's another fantastic tip for everyone to take home.
Yeah, and I love combining, you know, killing two birds with one stone, if you're allowed to say that. But you know, we brush our teeth twice a day, so why wouldn't we do that more mindfully, rather than wandering off on our heads and thinking about, oh my goodness, what's happening tomorrow, or my this, that, and the other? Why wouldn't we just do the teeth brushing mindfully, and then we've already done two things there.
Absolutely. Or add an exercise that I like to get people to do: stand on one leg, balance. So then you can be mindfully washing your teeth standing on one leg, working on balance.
Amazing. Three for one, that one.
So what inspired you to start your business?
Well, it was quite a few years ago. I started as an acuenergetics practitioner. I studied in 2005 and then really took it up properly in 2007. I wanted something much more flexible when my children came along, and my corporate career was sort of, you know, very full on, and it wasn't going to be conducive to family life. I had been toying with the idea. I had been injured myself in my 20s as well. And so that's when really years ago, I'd started looking at health and well-being and what I could possibly do. So this opportunity presented itself with AccuEnergetics when I arrived in Australia. And I just went for it, really. And I was working full-time at the same time. And then various things happened, like I had children, I moved country, I started my own business in the corporate sort of business side of things as I was studying. So there's lots of things happening. And then eventually I managed to qualify in 2014 in Holland. I finished off the exams there. And then really, I think somebody mentioned to me about meditation, teaching meditation, my sort of pitch of voice, et cetera, et cetera. And it started the ball rolling, really. It started off, gave me an idea that eventually came to fruition as more people suggested and wanted some help with mindfulness and meditation. I got it off the ground quite a few years before it became extremely popular here. So by this stage, I'm absolutely loving it. And it's great because people really want it. And, my classes are fully booked. Even in the gym environment, they're fully booked, which surprised me to start with. I've been doing that for well over a year. And people love it, and if there's a gap if we have the summer holidays or something, they're desperate to get back and they realize how much it benefits them when they don't do it anymore.
Absolutely.
So for this situation we're in now on lockdown, I'm providing free meditation twice a week for anyone who wants to tap in online, because I just think we need to keep the ball rolling.
Absolutely.
Because it's really the unknown, knowing how long this will go on for.
And do you find that your business is still constantly evolving from where it started to perhaps the way in which you see it changing in the next year or two?
Yes, definitely. It's given me the opportunity to get so much online that I wanted to get online. I've been planning to get online for ages, and I guess it wasn't a priority until now. I'm just about to launch today my 5-day online sleep retreat that's been available previously as a trial late last year. It's now available on demand, so people can download that and keep that forever. So that's 5 formal meditations and lots of hints and tips for mindfulness exercises to do if you find yourself waking during the night or struggling to get off to sleep in the first place. So there's lots of opportunity there. With AccuEnergetics, obviously, we can't have face-to-face sessions going on. So what I've done is I'm offering a 30-minute stress talk, really. Because if we can release tension in the body physically and emotionally, there's a good chance we can release a little bit of pain and tap away at that as well. So meditation comes into that too, but giving people tools to be able to do at home.
Absolutely. Empowering people to be able to just do something to help the situation. And so with the sleep retreat, is it something that you recommend people do before bed, or if they wake up in the night, like, is there a particular process that the retreat goes through?
Yeah, well, you can do the sleep retreat meditations, you can do any time of day. And we find that anybody that meditates, especially in a group setting, has much more energy in the day and the knock-on effect of a much deeper, more restful sleep at night. These meditations in particular have been designed for sleep. There are a few meditations that you have to be careful of. They can actually heighten your consciousness and start waking you up again. So you have to be careful what you pick and choose to do before bedtime and during the night. These ones, you can do it in the daytime, you can do it a couple of hours before bedtime, or you can actually do it at bedtime. I found actually when I was editing the 5-day online sleep retreat, I was struggling to get through it because it was so calming and peaceful. I had to get through it because I was trying to edit it. So that tickled me quite a lot, actually. It was quite funny.
Sounds perfect.
Even my own voice could set me off. It was quite good.
You have got a very calming voice, so I can completely understand how it works so well. Oh, fantastic. That's great. I'll pop a link on the show notes for the sleep
retreat. Thank you.
So people can take a click through and maybe give it a try, because it sounds like it is perfect. And I think I've heard a lot of people speaking that don't normally have sleep issues that are having sleep issues at the moment. So I think you've definitely got a massive help ready for people that not only normally have sleep issues, but actually are having sleep issues because of this weird period that we're currently in. So
that's right.
Like a really, really valuable tool.
That's right. And any of these meditations you can do during the night as well. You know, you can chip in and out of them. Really, any of them can help at any stage. And because you've got the program for life, you can pick and choose what you do when you do it. Okay.
Fantastic. Sounds great. I guess this... during this business and during perhaps... even more so right now what we're going through, have you had any challenges that you've had to face? And I would guess this period is probably one of the biggest. I know personally, obviously having to completely shift the nature of our businesses in a lot of way from very much one-to-one in person to this online format. What are your biggest challenges that pop into your head?
I think, or I sort of love a challenge. I'll be honest. I love a challenge. There's, you know, I get quite bored if there's nothing coming up that doesn't challenge me. So this has been a great opportunity in some ways, although there's lots of, you know, pros and cons to our situation. But I think you have to look on the bright side and keep pushing and, you know, working out plan A, B, C, D. That's just my nature. So I'm just sort of onwards and upwards looking to what I can do next in order to be able to support people. I have noticed in this particular scenario, you know, the fear actually that's created in so many people, you know, especially first up when we started walking around the neighborhood and having to be 2 meters apart, I would say 50% of people, you know, couldn't look at you in the eye or say hello, even although you're the other side of the road. And I thought, God, this has got a massive effect. This is really, you know, huge.
Absolutely.
You know, people are really preoccupied and fearful of either the present moment or something they've gone through in the past, or anticipating what could happen or may not happen. And it's just managing that fear, because that can cause a lot of havoc with health and wellness in the body.
Absolutely. I think you can really feel it within society that the level of anxiety has gone up. And I think a big part of that is linked to the fact that everything is so uncertain and we don't know what's coming next. And as humans, we don't particularly like not knowing what's coming next. So that uncertainty, I think, really is creating heightened anxiety and stress levels, because people are trying to figure out what might come next. And I think people that already suffered from anxiety, it's obviously just gone up to an extra notch. But I think also talking to different people that don't generally suffer from anxiety are actually starting to get far more anxious, because there's just such a high level of uncertainty. And obviously it's in the news, it's everywhere, let's be honest, it's what we're all talking about. You know, you can't really get away from it. And I think it's a time for problem solving. And I think we're all just trying to give people those tools that they can just come back into themselves, become a little bit more self-aware, and rather than thinking about the potential long term of what might be to come next, but more about what we can do right now for ourselves.
Yeah. And mindfulness definitely comes into that. You know, you really have to be careful how much of the media you watch or read or listen to. You know, if you really are finding yourself susceptible to anxiety because of that, you really need to back off a little bit and be very aware of how much you expose yourself to. You know, it doesn't matter how much of the news you watch, for example, it's not going to change the situation. So you have to be mindful of that. The other thing I will say that I was on a lovely global AccuEnergetics call with my colleagues, who really reaches worldwide now. And what they talked about in AccuEnergetics was what's happening with fear is the mind is racing. It's racing all the time. Now, whether that's a positive thing and you're actually running around and loving it, and you're really, really busy and you don't really come up for air, or whether it's a more negative thing and you're suffering the effects of stress and anxiety, the fact that your mind is racing, it actually has a detrimental effect on the immune system. So again, mindfulness comes into this because you have to be mindful of how you let your mind race away. What we do with meditation is we find a way to cultivate stillness in the mind. And that's really important to support your health and well-being, and specifically your immune system at the moment. So you really have to allow your mind to become still more of the time. So again, we're back to quietening the mind, which in turn relaxes the body and stabilizes the emotions.
Fantastic. No, it really does. It makes complete sense, that clarity of feeling like everything is sped up, but actually we just need to take control and just try and slow it down. Whether we get to complete stillness or just manage to just rein it back in, I guess that's the goal for us all right now.
Yeah. And structure helps with that, as we said earlier, Vicky, doesn't it?
It really does.
A little bit of structure. I mean, I'm more of a creative person. I struggle. I get a bit, I don't want to be too hemmed in with structure. But I've found myself, even me, I have to have a little bit of structure in my day. And then I feel as if I've achieved so much more.
Absolutely. And I think actually talking about, you know, goals and achieving, and I do quite like structure, but I have found personally at this time, I'm actually trying to release a little bit of that. Because I think it's very easy for us all to think, oh, we've got all this time, we can do this, 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 and this, and then we're going to write our to-do list, which I like to do, and they're super long, and then it just becomes too overwhelming because we are in strange times. There's definitely a strange feeling around, and we're all trying to adapt to what our new current normal is. And I have definitely found that just stripping it right back and having one or two things that I want to achieve is really helpful to adding some structure to my day. But as soon as I add too much to the list, I get even less done because it's too much right now. And I think it's just stripping it back to have a little bit of structure so that you feel like you've done something. And that could be something as simple as going out and watering the garden, or, you know, little things that might not seem like a big achievement, but it does add some structure to your day. And I think that's really helpful for us to just have some sort of routine or even non-routine to our day, because I don't think very many of us can do anything as normal that we were doing a few weeks ago. So I think that really helps.
Definitely. And it's the same with retirement, really. People that put structure into their day and have, you know, maybe some people have had careers or jobs that and then suddenly haven't. And it's such a shock to the system. And it's very hard to put structure in to a day that's completely different to what you're used to. So we can learn from people that have had to go through that, whatever age it is now that they've either chosen or had to retire. You know, structure is the most important thing to keep that health and well-being going, for you to keep active in mind and body.
Absolutely. And again, you know, you brought up the triggers, the habit building earlier that we were talking about, and that's exactly it, isn't it? If you lose all structure, even as simple as getting up, having a shower, washing your teeth, putting the kettle on, they're your triggers. So if you don't have the structure of doing those simple things in a day, you've lost your triggers to do those things that are going to help your overall well-being.
Yeah. And again, meditation can help with building structure into your day. It's about self-worth and self-esteem, and to be able to be motivated enough to work out what that structure is and make good decisions, et cetera, are all the benefits of meditation. There are hundreds. If you Google the benefits of meditation or mindfulness, you come across loads of scientific research. But we know anecdotally as well, you know, we know from practice what works and what doesn't.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm surprised I didn't ask you this question earlier. I'm assuming it's never too late to try and also never too early to try.
That's right. I've worked with, I guess, everybody, really. I've worked in a school and that was just lovely with the reception age, you know, the 4 and 5 year olds. It was all hectic to start with. It was quite funny. And then they started kicking each other in the head and crying and, you know, and then suddenly this blanket of peace comes across the whole class and they all just love it. It's like a poppy field. Aww. They all love just having a little lie down and a meditation. And then the older ones, maybe year 3 or something, which is age 7 and 8. Again, they were quite raucous and loud, couldn't really settle. But as soon as they got into it, oh, it was just a lovely, peaceful environment, and they all completely got it. And I just, all along the ages, really, people, male, female, every age group, anyone that's, you know, whether you've been through something traumatic or not, it just stands you in good stead to either be able to handle it or to handle something from a much stronger position with whatever life throws at you, I think.
Absolutely. Do you think it should be part of the national curriculum?
I think it's increasingly so becoming part of the national curriculum. You know, and I think teachers especially need even just their own exclusive class for themselves to be able to manage, you know, workloads and all sorts of different things. I also work with a group of sufferers and carers and partners of Parkinson's disease. And from the very first session, in fact, even the very, very first session, I was introducing the concept of meditation mindfulness. And there was about 70 people in the room. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to get everybody to meditate. This is just such a big number of people. And I had a microphone, which I thought, it's not really conducive to meditation. But there was, again, this blanket of peace for 10 minutes and people really got it and loved it and, you know, wanted it. And that led on to a group in North Hampshire that I teach meditation to. And their first session, you know, I could just feel the tension by the end of the session had dropped. People's faces were lit up, you know, there was colour in their cheeks, all of them, carers, partners, sufferers. Their shoulders were back to where they should be, away from their ears. You know, that burden had been lifted slightly for that session and they could carry some of those benefits home with them.
That's fantastic. It's so powerful. And I think, as I said earlier, I do think a lot of people are more aware of what meditation can do, but it can help so many different kinds of people in so many different ways. It really is worth everyone giving it a go, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I'm biased, but yeah. Well, there's nothing to lose, is there? I mean, what you
absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't even have to do it in a group. You can do it privately, you know. Nobody needs to know. You can lock yourself in the toilet at work. Take a few breaths.
Yeah, absolutely. It's trying to simplify these things rather than overcomplicate it. I guess for some, the idea of going to perhaps a class for an hour might seem a bit too much. But I think the idea of literally just doing that breath technique that you said at the beginning for a minute, well, that's something we can all try, isn't it? We've all got a minute. We can do it right now.
Yeah, I mean, time goes quickly. It really does. And you can use a timer so you're not distracted by the time. I mean, some people don't like group settings and they prefer me teaching them and coaching them one-to-one, which, you know, is lovely. And I always try and encourage them back into the group. That if they're that way inclined, they might not really want to, and that's fine as well. Other people love the group setting and they cannot believe when the 60 minutes is up, they think, oh my, that was literally 15 minutes. Where did the time go? You know, so the time goes really, really quickly when you're doing nothing.
Absolutely. Cause you're in the moment rather nothing. Than thinking.
Yeah. So, there's nothing wrong with actually doing absolutely what's perceived as nothing for a few minutes
or longer. It's actually really good for us.
It's really strengthening. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the Western world is so fast paced. It's almost, I think I've heard it described almost, it's like a badge of honor to be busy.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, I often have chats with people and they're like, oh, you know, what are you doing at the moment? Are you busy? And my answer is usually, yes, I am busy, but encompassed within that, when I say I'm busy, I also make time to work out, you know, take the dog out for a walk, have some quiet time, because that is what I encompass within my day. So my day is busy, but not necessarily doing stuff all the time. And I think it's really important just to try and slot in, even if it's just a few moments of busy, quiet time, because actually that's really, really important for us, because actually being proper busy and our mind frantically doing stuff for 24 hours a day is not what our body needs, and certainly not what our minds need. So I think it's just trying to take that step back and realizing quite often you get more done by giving yourself a little bit of time to do nothing.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Excellent.
Just taking a few minutes out here and there, you just make much better decisions. You know, it's just massive, and it's worth a try, isn't it? I mean, there's no, as I said, there's nothing to lose.
Exactly. And that's the great thing about it. It's so simple. You can do it anywhere at any time. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work. You've really not lost anything, but the chances are, based on both of our experiences, we know that the chances are you are going to get some benefit from it and want to try and keep doing it in some way.
Definitely. I mean, even people that are new to meditation or more experienced that come to my classes, it doesn't matter, you know, how much experience they've got, they get benefit quite immediately. And that's why they keep coming back, you know, whether it's relief of pain and a lower back that they're really surprised about, or, you know, they just sleep better, or they're less stressed, or they see the world in a different light. It just, you can just manage everything much more easily.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've got a bit of a big question for you now. What inspires you? And this can be quite a general question. I know we have mostly talked about your business, and it can be specifically focused on your business, or just generally what inspires you in life, in your own well-being and helping other people with their well-being.
I think I've said before, I do like a challenge. So anybody's, I usually get the difficult cases as well that come to me and say, I'm a difficult case. I've got this, and also this, and this. How can you help for me? You know, and I love that. You just have to break it down. And the beauty of what we do with AccuEnergetics and also mindfulness and meditation is that we look at the body and the mind as one whole. You know, we look at a three-dimensional person and see how the emotions feed the physical body. And that's what I love, that sort of challenge. I do like change. I like kind of continuously improving. I love talking to people and feedback and seeing how they're going. I love results, you know. It makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. It makes complete sense. And to slightly follow on from the question, if you could, and I'm throwing this one at you, if you could say there was one person that inspires you in life, who would that be?
Gosh, that's something I'm not sure about. I think definitely my mum and my dad. You know, they've really brought us up to be go-getters, in the sense of you need to go and get and do what you want to do, you know, whether it's university or working or not working or traveling or studying. You need to do what you love. And that passion has definitely had a knock-on effect on us. You know, that no stone is unturned and there's nothing we can't look at as an opportunity. And not necessarily in a business sense. It's just, you know, making the best of everything. You know, and I don't really settle until I've managed to get to that position. So there's a lot still to do on different counts.
It always is. It's never ending, isn't it? Yeah. But that's the fun. That is the fun. But it, like you say, that's extremely powerful. And it's true. Sometimes you just have to put the work in and give it a try and just grind and see how you can get to that end result that you have, perhaps just from a spark of an idea.
Yeah.
But you can bring it to life, which is
That's right.
Which is, I guess, what gets us all going, really.
Definitely. And I think naturally I love putting myself in other people's shoes and trying to work out where they're coming from. And when you're a practitioner, you have to be careful not to get too embroiled in situations, but you need to be able to understand from empathy, you know, what they're having to deal with. It might not be how you would have to deal with something. So I think that's important too.
Absolutely. Because every person's situation is unique. No one else has been through what that person's been through. And as you say, I think it's only through empathy that you can see potentially why someone is in a position, but you will never truly be in their shoes. So it's trying to just guide them in a way that you can understand from experiences that you have had and things that you've seen that other people have been through.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
And I would like to sort of finish off by giving you the floor to share one thing that you think everyone would benefit from knowing. So it might be a piece of information or a tip or a technique. But if there's one thing that you'd like to share with everybody, what would that be?
I think quite often we are our own worst enemy. I mean, that's a sort of famous line. And what we need to do sometimes is just give ourselves a break. And whether you have to go on a full-blown fortnight holiday from yourself and get distracted with something else, whether it's fitness or meditation or whatever it is, I think you need to be conscious of how often you give yourself a hard time and just step back from that and use an anchor to stop thinking like that. Just for a few moments every day, you know, as we've said, focusing on the breath or something, watching the body breathe, you know, being an observer, stepping back from the breath and watching the body do its thing is a good way of distracting yourself. Otherwise, we end up with the overthinking up here. Quite often, you know, you get a sort of niggle in your thoughts and it leads to an emotion. And before you know it, you have a full-blown feature film in your head and everything is mushroomed out of control and you've connected whatever annoying thing has come in here. You've connected that to something that happened 20 years ago. And certain people might start thinking, why me? Or they might start going, why do I always end up in this position? And, you know, as you can imagine, before long, we all do it. You end up with this huge, huge story that actually just started off with one thought. So this is how dangerous mind wandering can be. And with meditation mindfulness, we are literally just practicing as soon as we realize we've wandered off, coming back so it doesn't become too big. And just sitting with that thought or that feeling and just feeling how it feels in the body rather than overcomplicating it, just letting that progress naturally to its end, really, letting it disperse and dissolve as a singular thought or feeling.
Thank you. That's powerful. I'll leave that to just allow people to think for a moment. So I would just like to ask also, just to let people know, what is the best way for people to find you? I will, of course, put links on the show notes, but perhaps if you just share where we can find you.
Thank you. My website is quite a good source of information, which is mindful-medicine.co.uk. I've also got a free Facebook group called Sleep Retreat, which is to do focused on sleep. I have lots of hints and tips for mindfulness and meditations up there. And really also we cover pain and stress because sometimes those symptoms can lead to sleep problems too. Mindful Medicine itself has got a Facebook page as well. So you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn a little bit. I also work with organisations and help with stress in the workplace, whether it's charitable, corporate or community. And I run through some techniques for stress management and a mindfulness 101 workshop.
Fantastic. There are lots of wonderful places that people can find you. Then, as I say, I'll pop links on there. So I just want to thank you so much. This has been a very free flowing conversation. I know that people are going to get so many tips, hints, and advices from even just listening to this conversation, which I'm so happy about because this is exactly what I want this podcast to be. So thank you so much for your time. And I hope people come and give your 5-day sleep retreat a try as well, because that sounds wonderful. I think we could all do with sleeping even better than we do right now. So thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Vicky. I really appreciate it.
Well, there we have it. Episode 2 of the Live Fit Now podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I'm so excited that I can share the first podcast with a guest. And I think Gillian was absolutely wonderful. So thank you again for listening this far. Please do rate and subscribe to the podcast because it will help us massively in sharing and spreading the word. Thanks again. Until the next time.